Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The words just read from the lectern will serve as the basis of our meditation. The scriptures frequently refer to our life and conduct on earth as a walk. At the beginning of this pericope, Paul bids his readership walk in love. Further on, he directs, walk as children of light, sons of light. We will concentrate our attention to the latter expression, for both directives mean practically the same thing. We ask God the Holy Spirit to bless us as we briefly consider his word. The apostle shows the importance of walking in light when he points to a contrast and tells his addressees, you were once darkness, and then adds, now are you light in the Lord. For a long period, the Ephesian converts, prior to their coming to the Lord, had walked in darkness and had been full of darkness, so full of it, as was exhibited in their behavior, that they are practically and metaphorically identified with darkness. You were darkness. Paul suggests some of the sins of which many had been guilty prior to their coming to the Lord. They had been guilty, some of them, of fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. They had been guilty of obscene speech, salacious talk, and, of course, jesting. Many other sins, these are just representative of the kinds of transgressions committed in the pagan society in which they had been brought up. And the Apostle Paul brings to their attention again the fact that in their former condition, as being darkness, as walking in darkness in this way, they were under the wrath of God. For on account of these things, the apostle asserts, the wrath of God comes, keeps coming upon the children of disobedience. The wrath of God is the reaction of divine holiness and righteousness to sin. And it exhibits itself in a number of ways. First of all, in this, that all men are born into the world spiritually dead because of original sin. And the wrath of God, in reaction to that sin, means death for all. Furthermore, as Paul indicates in the first chapter of Romans, that wrath of God exhibits itself in pagan society in this, that God punishes sin with sin among men. That is to say, he allows the restraints of sin which have been naturally built into human nature progressively to be removed, that men sin more and more, fall into progressively terrible degradation, committing all manner of transgressions. And as a result of this condition, none has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God, now or hereafter. As we apply Paul's words to ourselves, we remember that for a shorter or longer period, we too, who were born into the world with original sin, were under the wrath of God. And we had no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and in God and of God either. That is to say, the rule or reign of Christ had not been set up in our hearts. It was not augmented as we proceeded through life as it was leading us to a heavenly glory. God had not set up shop in us and done anything salvific in us at all. Then the apostle speaks to the Ephesian adversaries again, and of course to all of us. And he says, but now you are light in the Lord. They had come through the proclamation of the gospel to know God as their dear heavenly Father in Christ, Jesus as the Savior, who had, through his suffering and death, made atonement for their sins. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, they were brought to embrace that wonderful gospel tidings in faith, so that they had received forgiveness and life and salvation. And a wonderful change had taken place within them. Whereas they were darkness, now within they became light in the Lord. They became a new creation within. Paul says elsewhere to believers, you have put on the new man who after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And they had the potential now to live the God-glorifying life. All of that has happened to you and me too. We have trusted in the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary, which is pointed to here symbolically as an incense, the obedience of the Savior as an incense rising before God, pleasant to the Almighty, on account of which His justice has been satisfied. Though human beings had affronted that justice with transgression, now sins are fully and finally atoned for forever. All who look to Christ in faith should not perish, but have everlasting life. And by the miracle of God's grace, we too have come to see Jesus as our personal Redeemer and have our forgiveness, have that new creation within, and the potential to live in such a way as to serve the Lord. In fact, we have become within so closely identified with life that picturesquely here, figuratively, we are called light. You have become light in the Lord. Now to us who have been enlightened and become light, then Paul gives a directive, walk as children of light. It's an interesting thing to note in Scripture the Bible has to say about the transmission of light and the sequence of its transmission. In our text here, believers are called light. Jesus elsewhere stated to his followers, "Ye are the light of the world." Again, we read in the Bible, "God is light." And Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul speaks of the unbelieving and says that the God of this age has blinded their minds, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. And then a verse by way of contrast concerning the believers, that God has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. How can all these light statements be interrelated? Combining what the Scriptures have to say about light, we may make the following assertions. First of all, the Bible presents God as light, original, underived, perfectly holy and pure in His nature. These are part of His makeup, His attributes. And then, He is the light source of all kinds, whether physical light, spiritual light, whatever kind of light, for all the rest of the universe and for men. Christ is the light of the world. The Father, the Holy Spirit are the light of the world, original, underived. Now, the gospel tells us about God and may be thought of as light rays emanating from the light source, God and His glory. When and where it pleases God, people who hear the gospel, who see the gospel light, are enlightened themselves, are brought to the light. And they come to see the light of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. They learn about all of His wonderful attributes, especially His love and grace, and by the Spirit's power learn to trust in Him and to love Him and desire to serve Him. They are enlightened. And then in turn, having become light through that process, having the new creation within, they are in a position to be light bearers to others. Reflecting the light of God, and His light is underived and original, as the moon reflects the light of the sun. The light that we shed abroad in the world is derived from the light source, and of course is a luminary in the darkness of the world, as the moon is a luminary at light. Now Paul says, walk as children of light, those who have been born by the light and take their stand with the light, and are to be light bearers to others. Now, exactly what does it mean to walk as children of light? The Apostle Paul gives us some direction here to an understanding of this concept when he says, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. The fruit of the Spirit is in the sphere of everything that is goodness, righteousness, and truth. The Lord Jesus says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and themselves be led to glorify your Father who is in heaven. We walk in the light when we do the good works of heart and hand and voice prescribed by God's word. And these works have three remarkable attributes as we look at them. First of all, they accord with goodness, says Paul. If we look at these works, they are morally excellent deeds that God commands, advised by his wisdom and prescribed for us for our benefit and for the benefit of those who are the beneficiaries of the good things that we do to others. They also looked at from another angle our righteousness. They are in accord with the divine norm of right established by the heavenly judge. And they are truth. They are conformable with the ultimate moral and spiritual reality in the universe as presented in the sacred scriptures. You and I walk in the light specifically when, first of all, we daily repair to the gospel and to the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing our sins and receive forgiveness for those transgressions. When we obtain for our souls peace in the knowledge of our fellowship with God through that forgiveness. We walk in the light when, making use of the power of the new man created in us, we fight against sin and walk in harmony with the works which are outlined in God's law, as we are shown the way in which to go, the word serving as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We walk in the light as we confess the Lord Jesus Christ to others, as we point them to the Savior who stands with arms outstretched and says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We walk in the light when we glory over the fact that we are freed from the power and tyranny of sin for blessed release to do the will of God, virtue being its own reward, and our godliness also receiving an extra blessing, as the word tells us, from the Almighty on high. We walk in the light when we praise God for our salvation, which begins now and leads on into the blessed and heavenly perpetuity. Brothers and sisters in Christ, following the directive of the Lord's apostle, let us keep on walking as children of light, persistently, joyfully, eagerly, with total devotion, tirelessly carrying out the will of the Lord, so that we please him and that we are blessed in time and eternity by him. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all that your mind can do, guard your hearts and thoughts in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.